Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message from the book of Ephesians entitled, God's New Race. Last week we heard how, as Gentiles, we were naturally separated from God, from Israel, from the covenants of promise, and without hope. But we learned how Christ, the Jewish Messiah, had broken down that wall of separation and created in the process an entirely new race of people with access to God and partakers of a better covenant built on better promises than anything known in the Old Testament. This evening, Pastor Grant will conclude this message with a triumphant good news that God has not given us a green card. We are citizens of heaven and His forever. So if you have your Bibles, turn with us once again to Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 22 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings to a conclusion his message, God's New Race. Here once again is Pastor Grant.
Well, God, why did you pick the Jews? Why did they get such favorite treatment? They didn't get any favorite treatment. By the way, you look at the history of the Jews and see how much time God has spanked their behind over and over and over, because God chose them to be an example, and they have been a poor example. But hallelujah, God's plan can never be thwarted, because it was through the Jews we received a person by the name of Jesus Christ, God the Son, born as a Jew. But hallelujah, through him salvation has come to all mankind. Amen. So what went wrong? God gave them everything. But like us, like being humans, they decided, you know what, Ham? We love rituals. Do you know a lot of folks love rituals? Do you know a lot of church folks, they're still into the rituals? And so the Jews, the text tells us that the Jews were into the rituals. So what were they doing? As soon as the little baby is born, what they did? They took him, boy, baby, not girls. They took this little boy, what they did? They circumcised him. Oh, you see, and you notice what the text tells you. The circumcision was only of the flesh. It wasn't of the heart. Paul is trying to send us a message. Paul is really saying, the Jews missed it. The Jews missed what God was all about. God was not trying to set up some ritual. You know, some of us, you may be here this morning and you're into the ritual of worship. Oh, you were baptized and every Sunday you go and you get your praise on. But nothing is really happening in your heart. It's not about the ritual. It's not about form or fashion. It's about a change that happens on the inside. And listen, the Jews as a nation, they blew it. So when I say the hopeless condition of man, the Gentiles were hopeless, the Jews were hopeless. And the Apostle Paul, as he comes to Romans chapter 3, and I think somewhere about verse 9, he says to the Jews, he says to them quite bluntly, because you know, in the early church, the Jews were like, whoa, those who were becoming Christians were like, where are all them Gentiles coming from? This is a Jewish thing? But as Paul speaks to the Jews, he says to them, are we better than they? Are we better than the Gentiles? And Paul says, as we have already concluded, we are all under sin. And in Romans 3:23, which is one of the powerful verses of Scripture, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And my friend, young person, older person, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to get that today, that Jesus is saying, God is telling you, all have sinned. Every person, the Jew sinned, the Gentile sinned, the black man sinned, the white man sinned, the yellow man sinned. We have all sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, we have fallen short of the mark. We have fallen short of God's righteous and holy standards.
But this morning, my friend, despite your sin, despite my sin, salvation is available at the foot of the cross. Amen. Humanity's hopeless condition. But secondly, the reconciling work of Christ. The reconciling work of Christ. The word reconcile means to bring together again. To bring together again. There are two aspects of the work of reconciliation Jesus did. Number one, it tells us here, he reconciled sinners to God. Remember, I told you there was this wall. Our sin had separated us from God. But Jesus Christ reconciled sinners to God. Verse 13 of Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah for the blood. Amen. We were far off, but now we have been brought near. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about these two big buts in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 4. But God, after he talks about the fact that we were spiritually dead, we were depraved, we were doomed. But verse 4, but God intervened. Grace intervened. The miracle of grace. The miracle of grace intervened. And now here we come to verse number 13. After telling us in verse 11 and 12 that we were heathen, dead, without Christ, without hope, without God. He now says, but now in Christ, you who once were far off have been drawn near by the blood of Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? One songwriter says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. You see, it's the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that can cleanse us from sin. And I need to ask you this morning, have you been washed? Have you received Jesus Christ by faith? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I'm willing to acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner, that I am one of those all who have sinned. And this morning, I want you to clean me. Clean me from the inside out. The blood of Jesus. Praise God for the blood. But listen, he not only reconciled sinners to God, he reconciled Jews to Gentiles. Look at me at verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. Do you see that? Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God. Amen. The reconciling work of the cross. He reconciles sinners to God. If you're taking notes, he reconciles sinners to God. Amen. But secondly, if you're taking notes, he reconciled Jews and Gentiles. Amen. Let me go on to the third thing. The blessings of our new race. Whether you call them races, tribes, or ethnic groups, what I don't want you to miss is that God has made all believers one in Christ. This is big. I'm going to put up Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I'm going to put it on the screen so we can all see it together in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to read for you. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between who? Jews and Gentiles, by creating himself what? One new people from the two groups. As I've been trying to get across, there were two groups, Jews and Gentiles, and what the cross did, Jesus has broken down the wall of hostility. The passage says there was enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. Jesus has broken it down. And so I am suggesting to you, listen, there is no place for antisemitism or racism of any type in the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know you may be listening by radio and you might be wondering, we have some real problems in the Christian church. There is still too much racism. But here, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Jesus, the word of God says, there is neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free man, male or female, because we are all one in Christ Jesus, in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is no space for racism of any type. There is no space for gender discrimination. There is no place for class discrimination. And if you're a member of this church, I come out of the churches, it is our expectation, and the message we preach is a message of oneness, that we are all one by faith in Jesus Christ. The blood has united us. Some folks are bent out of shape if I say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. We are not seeking to be a black church. What the passage is trying to get across, God wants us to realize, it's not about trying to find a church that looks like you. Our church ought to look like heaven. There's not going to be one heaven for this group and another heaven for that group. Listen, we are all one in Christ. Prayer that we can see more individuals of every ethnic group becoming to part of this fellowship, that together we can show the world what the blood has done. Amen. This world that has been divided by race needs to see a church that is true to the word of God, where everybody, whether you're from whichever part of the world, you get together and you love each other and you serve each other and you grow together and we reach the world for Jesus.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But listen, know that God has united us together into one church. The rest of the passage gives a whole lot of blessings that he has given to this new race. I'm only going to talk about two of these blessings that God has given this church, this new citizenship. Amen. Number one, we all have immediate access to God. We all have immediate access to God. The blessings of our new race is my third point. And the first point I want to make as I talk about the blessings of our new race, we all have immediate access to God. Listen, verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You say, Brian, that doesn't sort of blow me away. I was hoping you were coming with something bigger than that. The reason you were hoping I'd come with something bigger than that is because you don't realize how big this is. You see, when we were heathen, you had no access. Even the Jews had very restricted access. The high priest, he could go into the Holy of Holies one time per year. You hear what I'm saying? But now, hallelujah, I can go into the presence of the Lord God of Sabaoth. I can go into his presence anytime. And I have what? I don't want to leave my little word immediate. I've got immediate access. Your problem is you only want to go meet the mayor or some other guy, you know. Can you imagine that you can meet God? We were traveling in Switzerland a few weeks ago, and we went to this church that's about 700 or 800 years old. But you know, one of the things that was so sad to see is that the confession boxes were still active. You understand what I'm talking about? You know what the confession boxes are? The confession boxes. People are trying to get a word through to God. But the figure, to get through to God, you got to go to a priest. And they go into this little box and they tell the priest what they did wrong. And he can talk to God and he can come back with an answer. And he said, you can say so many Hail Marys. You can do boop. I don't need to go to no confession box, because I want you to know there is a line that's always open to me. Amen. There's a line that's always open to every believer in Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it tells us that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace where we can find mercy. Oh, do you need some mercy today? Oh, some of you you're going through some drama. Speaking to some folks in the last few weeks, they were sharing with me some of the drama in their life, and why they don't like God anymore. Not from our church. I talk to a lot of folks. So in the time I tell my stories, don't assume you know who it is, because you don't. All the problems that God had allowed to happen, we don't like him anymore. Perhaps that's you. Why didn't you go to the throne of grace? Why didn't you go and find some mercy? Why didn't you do like the Apostle Paul did? You see, the Apostle Paul had some issues too. He had this thing that was bothering him. He calls it in the Bible a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. You don't know either. But he went to the throne of grace. And God said, he begged God to take it away. God said, I ain't taking it away. But my grace is sufficient. You see, sometimes when we go to the throne, we find out that God is going to give us the grace we need to deal with the drama. Believer, I beg you, don't miss the privilege. Don't miss this privilege, the privilege of the throne of grace. It's God on the other end, the one who made everything. He's on the other end and he's listening. His ear is attentive. Oh, I wish we could talk some more, but let me go quickly to my final point. We all have immediate access to God. Now we are fellow citizens of heaven. Verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are all citizens together. Amen. Jew, Gentile, it don't matter who you are, where you came from, we are fellow citizens. Don't think you got a better seat than anybody else. Don't think you have some special access. We are fellow citizens. You know, when I came to this country, the passage says we're no longer strangers and foreigners. I was a stranger and a foreigner. I had to carry a thing called an alien car, registration card. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They call it a green card. Yeah. And do you know that green card wasn't very permanent? Do you know every 10 years we had to renew it? Yeah. You always had to be concerned, what they're going to do. But I don't have a green card anymore. I got a passport. But do you know, as long as I carried that green card, if I did something bad, do you know what they would do? Oh, you heard a lot of people are being put on planes right now. But that's what it had done to me. Oh, I've had a number of friends who were sent back. Oh, don't trust me. I could have full up the church with people I know who have been sent back. my poor little grieving wife, my weeping wife, as they sent me back on that plane. But now that I got my passport, I got citizenship, they can't do a thing about me. America, you're stuck with me now. You're stuck with me now. And I want to tell you, I am happy to be a citizen of the United States of America, but I'm more excited to be a citizen of heaven, a fellow citizen with all the saints. Amen. And I want to tell you that no matter what I do, now don't give me no license to go crazy now. But you see, I hear all these people saying, oh, you better do this, you better do that, or you may lose your salvation. They must have think God gave me a green card. He never gave me a green card. I'm not an alien. I am a citizen of heaven. Listen, we started out bad, didn't we? We started out as heathens. We started out without Christ. We started out without hope. We started out without God. But hallelujah, we are citizens of heaven. And it's all because of God's outrageous grace. I close with a story. Bessie was an adopted child. But somehow the family that adopted her had never fully integrated her into their family. And so every time they went to Disney World, they would take their biological children, but they always left Bessie with a family friend. Bessie always wondered why, and for a while she thought it had to do with her behavior. Probably she didn't behave as well as she should. Eventually that adoption fell apart, and there were some legal issues, and it was dissolved, and a new family adopted her. Tim and his wife adopted Bessie. And when Tim heard about all that Bessie had experienced, he was a preacher. And Tim, this is a true story, by the way. Tim said, the next time I am in Florida to preach, I'm going to take the family to Disney World. So he got an appointment. He told them when we were going to go to Disney World. Something strange happened. 2 weeks before they were to go to Disney World, Bessie started acting crazy. Bessie started lying. Bessie started being mean to her sister. She would do everything to get her sister to cry. And things just went from bad to worse. And so 2 days before they were supposed to go to Disney, Tim said to her, Bessie, what's happening? He said, why are you behaving like this? Don't you want to go to Disney World? Bessie said, I know what you all are doing. I know you never had any intention of taking me to Disney World. Tim, it's not about them. He couldn't understand why would she say that. But as he listened, he realized what had happened. You see, in her previous family, even when Bessie behaved good, they still left her. And so as far as she was concerned, this was just another game. And so Bessie acted up because she said, listen, they're not going to take me. And if they don't take me, at least I won't be disappointed because I deserve not to go. So Bessie was going crazy. 2 days later, Bessie walked through the doors of the Magic Kingdom. And that night, Tim, as he was putting her to bed, he and his wife were putting her to bed, but he just wanted to ask her something. And he said to her, Bessie, how did you enjoy your first day at the Magic Kingdom? She pulled the covers up a little higher, and she looked into her father's eyes. She said, Daddy, I finally got to go to Disney World. But she said, it wasn't because I was good. It's because I am yours. It's not because I'm good. It's because I'm yours. I am going to heaven, not because I'm good, but because I belong to him. And I want to ask you, are you coming with us? Are you coming with us? You say, Brother Brian, you don't know what I've done. God does. He knows you have been good, but he's willing to take you if he's yours. And so this morning I'm going to ask you, you don't know Jesus. I'm going to ask you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.